grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, who daily take up their crosses so that you may follow Christ each and every day. They say that if you are trying to sell something, or you want a person to join an organization, that it's always good to list the positives, the good things, the advantages that they'll get out of this new thing. That you won't list all the bad things that could happen because of it. I think nothing better illustrates this more than those ads or commercials you see for new cars. They always tell you all the great and wonderful things that you will have by having a new car. Things that say like this, that drive home today in a nicer, newer car. No credit, no problem. Trade in that clunker and go on home in a car that will get you where you want to go when you want to get there. Dealerships do this. They tell you the good stuff about a car because they want you to come and buy what they have on stock. It wouldn't make much sense if they told you all the bad things that would come. They wanted you to buy a car. If you were to hear this on the radio, just how likely would you be to stop on by? Lock yourself in a monthly car payment for years to come. Make yourself worry when your new car is parked outside and the kids are playing right next to it. I don't know about you, but if I hear that on the radio or the TV, I'm going to turn it off right away, and I will go to great lengths to keep my old car running as long as possible. But whether you take the plunge for the new car or stay with the old one that needs some work on it, you're going to have positives and negatives no matter what. It just comes with the package. Living as a Christian has its positives and negatives as well. The positives are great and wondrous, far greater than any negative could ever be. For to be a Christian means that you are a child of God, loved by your Father above, forgives all of your sins. That can never be taken away. But there's also some sufferings, hardships, sorrows that come from a person who calls themselves a Christian. It's those hard times that we will be looking at this morning under a teaching called the Theology of the Cross. Now, normally when we talk about the cross, we think of the cross that Jesus died on. On Golgotha, on Calvary, where he died to pay for all of our sins. But when we're talking about the theology of the cross, it's a different one we're talking about. The hardships that we have to bear for the sake of being a Christian. We call it the theology of the cross because of the terminology that Jesus uses in our verses for this morning, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. It's in those verses the Lord tells us that we are to expect sufferings of many different kinds, but to persevere through them all, for what is to come is greater than we could ever imagine. Our Savior lists two things that we must do under the theology of the cross as living as Christians that we are to do each and every day. He says that if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross so as to follow him. To deny yourself, to say no to your sinful wants and yes to what God wants. To conform your will so it is God's will and you want what God wants. A battle we must fight each and every day. And the second thing, take up our cross, to be willing to endure whatever suffering comes our way for the sake of calling ourselves a Christian. It could be dishonor from our friends and peers, disgrace from our superiors that we work for, shame from society, or even dying as a martyr, dying a martyr's death. While I don't foresee any of us dying as a martyr in America in the near future, those other things are going to happen to you as they happen to me. Because Satan doesn't like that we call ourselves Christians. He'll come after with his temptations to lead us away from Christ and the wondrous cross that he has died on. This world which has rejected the light that Christ shows. And our own sinful flesh warring against us each and every day. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you're going to have the theology of the cross all along the way. But not everyone would like to admit that. Many times people think that if you're a Christian in this world, that life is just one great party, that you are somehow, your head is up in the clouds, not aware of what's happening down here. And it's true that we may not be as worked up by things here. Because we know that this life is just a stepping stone until we get the awesome, much better life coming in heaven. But each and every one of us has scars on our hearts and painful memories we battle against. So we live as the Christian that we all try to be. And our Savior was no exception to sufferings either. For while he walked on earth, he too lived under the theology of the cross. Granted, he had no sinful nature to deny, but he suffered a lot from the people around him. Up until this time in the Gospel of Mark, everyone thought that Jesus would just continue to rise in popularity to become an earthly king of sorts, to make a new nation and kick out the Romans. It's what the first century world thought the Messiah was supposed to be. But if our Savior is to be the Savior of all people, that wouldn't be done by rising on the waves of popularity. Instead, he would have to suffer for it. As he warned the disciples what was going to happen to him, instead, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. That he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. How our Lord would suffer. Bodily injuries, disappointment from the people he grew up with in Nazareth. The Jewish ruling council, how they would reject Jesus by publicly slandering him, weaseling their way within the 12 disciples, and calling for his crucifixion. Pontius Pilate, who signed off on the injustice by sending Jesus to the cross, even though Pilate knew that Jesus should not have died on that day. Our Savior knew all these things were going to happen to him if he was going to continue on that path to the cross on Golgotha, on Calvary. And he could have walked away from it all. He could have done what the people expected him to do. But if we're going to have a Savior, we need someone to die in our place. So Jesus chose to live under the theology of the cross, to endure every type of suffering and temptation come his way, so that you and I may have an escape from this world of sin and sorrow. This pattern of sorrows and sufferings our Savior had, it's what happens to you and to me as well. Satan's not going to let us slip under the radar somehow. He will tempt us just as he tempted Jesus. To make matters worse, our sinful flesh will continue to war against what we know we should not do and yet fall back into doing all the time. Perhaps it'll be a wandering eye that desires others in a way between husband and wife. Satan loves to tempt us, saying that life would just be a lot more fun if you listen to your sinful instincts instead of God's word. Maybe it'll be when, about 10 or so minutes or so, when the offering plate comes around. And as you start reaching down to grab what you had planned beforehand, you think, I know what's coming in the mail. I don't know if God can really provide for me this week, so I'm going to hold back what I was going to give just to play it safe. Sinful nature. Looking out for number one. Seeing that with our hard-earned money, we should put it towards ourselves, make life easier. Not give it in thanks to God, support the gospel ministry. Maybe it'll come as your mind and body begin to fade away because of age or disease. And in that moment of pain and weakness, Satan will come by and bring up those memories of the past that you wish to stay away. And he asks you, do you really think God could love someone like you? You say that you are his child, and yet this is how he treats you? With pain and confusion? Give him up. Live for yourself what life remains for you. The theology of the cross is not easy. Whether it be Satan, this world, our own sinful flesh, we have sorrows and sufferings of all different kinds, attacking us at where we are our weakest. But don't let the problems of this world scare you away from what is to come. For our Savior, who died on that cross, he did it for you and for me. To tell us that there is salvation and forgiveness. To know that when we give in to those crosses and those temptations and we err in a moment of weakness, he's there to forgive us. By the power of the cross that he has bore, that he died on for us. And it's that cross which empowers us, encourages us to persevere to the end, because to show that our minds are on the things of God, not on the things of men. Yes, life may be extra difficult for Christians because of all that comes on, but the theology of the cross is not just one of pain and suffering. What comes at the end is heaven, where there is no pain and no suffering for the rest of time. In a word of warning, our Savior tells us what will happen to those that Christians who gave up their faith because their crosses were too much to bear. He says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. To be a Christian is to suffer for Christ, but if a Christian is so ashamed of what they have to go through that they give up their faith, well, Jesus will be ashamed of them on the last day. Never be ashamed of what your Savior has done for you. Persevere through those sufferings, keeping your head held high to bear that cross that weighs on your back so much. Would be for the student who's memorizing lessons that teach contrary to Scripture. The worker who can't bring up their faith because they know they're going to be ridiculed and made fun of by their co-workers. For the believing spouse who has that fight yet again, why they are choosing time with God instead of with their unbelieving spouse or whatever else. These crosses will not leave you and me. But don't give up what your Savior offers to you. Don't be ashamed of what this world cannot even come close to giving to you. And go to your Savior's cross for the strength to bear and take up your crosses. For it's our God above who came down and lived under the law that condemns us, who endured every kind of suffering, so that his death on the cross may be for our salvation, to receive the full punishment of all of our sins that God ought to give to you and to me, but instead gave to him, so that there may be forgiveness. Be assured that 3 days after Jesus died on that cross, he rose from the dead. So when he says to you that you are forgiven, he has the power to back it up and will bring it to you. But not only is our Savior so great to go to the cross for us, but he continues to show that love to you and to me. When we go to him for help in bearing our crosses and say, Lord, help me take this up, give you the strength so you can remain firm in his word. By coming to his word so you may remain strong and deny that sinful nature and suffer what comes your way. And that every time you come to him in repentance, he will forgive you. Whether it's a little sin that only you know about, the big ones that if they became public would just completely ruin your life, or the ones that you just keep giving into time after time, even though you know better. Those sins are forgiven. You are at peace with God. And you are his child. Yes, the Christian life may bring its own special set of sufferings and sorrows. Satan will come after us with all different kinds of problems, but be aware of it. Expect those to come. Go to God's word so you can deny that sinful nature. Say no to sin and yes to God to endure whatever comes your way. Persevere through the end, knowing that what your God gives you is far greater than what this world can give. To never be ashamed of what your Savior has done for you and what you may suffer for it in the return. Because what is to come, it's a blessed joy of heaven, where you and I and every believer get to be with our Father forever in a land where there is no more sorrow, no more sufferings for all time. That is the guarantee we have. So take up your cross and follow Christ. Amen.